It's time for Product Genius with Tiffany Krumen.
Hello there, everybody. There they are. They're the fans. The throngs that have all come to listen, not to me, but to the star of the show for this fantastic, wonderful journey known as Product Genius. The genius across the table is Tiffany Krumens. Welcome, genius.
I doubt very seriously they've come to listen to me. I can't even ask a question at the end of my statements.
Well, guess what? We are going to talk about podcasting for fun and profit today. Yes. We have got
the best guest ever.
Arguably the greatest guest in the history of this show. The reason why is because we're talking to family today. That's a great one. We're talking to the producer of Product Genius with Tiffany Krumens. It is my pleasure and honor and esteemed privilege to introduce Jody Smith of jodysmith.com. Hey there, Jody.
Hey, Stephen. I am thrilled and honored to be here.
You're always here, but today you're actually speaking.
Yes, I'm thrilled to be able to use the microphone today.
Yeah. So Jody is going to produce and star in this episode all at the same time. Is this like when the director produces, is also acting in the movie?
Yeah, it's very much like, I really want to direct, but I'm
so which actor, director are you modeling this appearance after?
I don't know, maybe Jason Bateman.
I like that. I well done. Like one of my favorites. All right, so we'll give the website right at the beginning, jodysmith.com. And at Jody, if people go there as they're listening to this, right on the front page, it says, hey, do you need podcast help? So tell everybody about what you do.
Yes. So my very simple tagline is I help people podcast. Normally,
that wasn't a joke, Tiffany. I don't know why you're laughing.
Because it's so simple.
It's so simple.
Normally that involves, I would say about 90% what I do is walk people through the product, not the product launch, through the podcast launch process from wherever they are, whether they're just haven't done any research or if they've maybe tried to start and maybe stumbled along the way. So I am the tour guide. I take their hand virtually because, you know, COVID and all. And walk them through and make sure that they get all their questions answered, everything is set up right, and help encourage them along the way.
So podcasting is one of these things. I've been co-hosting. I've done almost nothing behind the curtain, behind the scenes of what you do in producing it. But podcasting has become this thing that everybody's kind of talking about it, and everybody's talking about, well, you need an iPhone. I mean, you hear that, why would I need somebody like Jody? I can just do it myself.
You can.
What are some of the biggest things that they don't know that would trip them up in doing their own podcast and why they should probably talk to somebody like you?
Yeah, so there's something called pod fade that is very common when someone starts a podcast, and depending on the analytics you look at, many, many podcasts don't make it past like the first 7 episodes because don't really understand the work that it takes, or they get tripped up on the work of having to edit it, or maybe they get frustrated by not having listeners at the very beginning. So what I can bring is experience of helping over 200 podcasters launch their podcast, as well as help them with other things along the way. I've helped them with strategy and some of them with courses and stuff and such. So I have the compound experience of having worked behind the scenes with a couple of hundred people. And so I've seen things that do work well, things that don't. And I can give instant guidance and feedback instead of you being lost in the vast swamp of Google tutorials and YouTube.
And articles of, all you got to do to podcast is.
Yes.
Well, so, because there's a difference in just recording something and podcasting, right? I mean, you're doing all of the behind the scenes stuff that actually makes it a success.
Right. Yeah. So, and that can be anything from defining what your show's about, defining the title of your show. I mean, I sit and brainstorm with people who have these clever titles for their show. but it does not tell the it does not tell their ideal listener what their podcast is about. And so I will go through and I say, instead of being creative with this, let's just be really bottom line and direct so that your listener, mm-hmm. your ideal listener, will know exactly what this podcast is about.
Because they've got to be found to find, to have the right. listeners.
So, Tiffany, I wanted to come on the air, and I wanted to call Jody, the Wizard of Oz, and go behind the curtain, and Jody goes, why don't we just call it Podcasting for Fun and Profit? So right there, he was helping us losing some clients, renaming this show.
So one of the conversations we had on air one day by accident, as I was saying how great Jody was and how much he did with our podcast, and you kind of stopped me in my tracks and said, well, I think Jody's role with other people is a little bit different. We've become friends now. He happens to live local to us, so he comes into the studio with us, but that's not what he does with everybody. So I'd like you to tell our listeners, Jody, what do you do with the typical person that comes to you? What is the process like?
Yeah, that's it's very special to have this one day a month when we get together and I get to get out of the office and come here and meet in person. But I would estimate that at least 99% of my clients I've never met in person. And I've worked with people from several dozen states across the U.S., people in Canada. I've worked with people in Australia. I've worked with an Irishman that lives in France. I just launched a podcast with a great lady who lives in London, UK.
Oh, cool.
And so we communicate over Zoom, and I was doing that long before COVID came along, so that was very natural transition to me. What we do is we will have consulting calls during the launch process, and we'll go over whatever needs to be talked about. What is the stumbling block? Maybe you have a question, or maybe you're discouraged, or whatever, or you have questions about how to make yourself sound great when you record. And so I will take them through the whole process and make sure tell them what equipment would make the most sense for them and their budget to make sure they sound great. I set up the podcasting infrastructure for them so they don't have to worry about learning all that stuff, because I've done it a couple hundred times. Mm-hmm. And I answer any question they have about podcasting. And by the time we're through the process, they've had their questions answered, their infrastructure is set up, they've learned to record themselves and any guest and sound great, and they've got the confidence of having recorded their first episode.
What if somebody wants to, much like our product development space, what if they're just curious about what it takes to have a successful podcast? Can they come to you for consulting for that? I mean, if they're not really on board yet, but they just want to know.
Yeah, absolutely. I do hourly consulting too. So if they want to get on a Zoom call with me, and we can chat through any questions they have. There have been plenty of people I've told, a podcast would not make sense for the goal that you want to reach right now. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend that you divert your attention and resources somewhere else for the present time, if that's the goal you want to reach. So I'm not afraid to tell someone if it's maybe not the right time for them, or if their expectations are wrong.
What if their personality isn't right? Have you ever had somebody where they're just a little too shy and they might not be good on air by themselves? Or
so
you told them to drink some liquor and then get on the air because it enhances their. I'm sorry.
So if they have
a coffee and liquor.
So they have, if they have the desire to do it, I don't discourage because of the personality. Because if they have the desire to do it, there's lots of things that can be learned along the way, and really, it's in the doing that their confidence increases. Mm-hmm. So I can encourage them. I can give them some tips, and it's fine. I mean, there's different personalities. I mean, for different podcasts. I mean, I've heard some people with very shy, introverted personalities that do podcast and
that are so, probably better than me all over the blah, 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 you know, just vomiting into the microphone.
Not better, just different. Yeah. And sometimes that makes sense for certain topics of you know, certain niches.
Well, there, listen, there are people who love NPR and there are people who love Sean Hannity.
Yeah.
Right.
Two totally different. Right. One's yelling. One is all things considered and very, yeah, you know, yeah. So it there is a podcast out there for people who like, however they like their mm-hmm. podcast, they can find it. Let me ask you to go into the idea of audience size, because I think when it comes to podcasting, much like if anybody listening has teenagers at home who've talked about starting a YouTube channel, my son wanted to start a YouTube channel and he had these grand visions of how he watched popular MMOs and hi guys with Jen. And he just thought, oh, well, they have 5 million viewers. And so I'm going to do this, this YouTube channel and I'm going to get, you know, tens of thousands of viewers in the first month. When it comes to audience size, what are the expectations people need to be realistic about what they're trying to capture?
Yes. So I get questions about audience size a lot. And people will say, you know, what is a good audience size? Well, audience size is not the definitive answer for success in a podcast. You know, it's great to have a big audience, but because podcasts are so targeted and niched, I've seen some very small audience sizes that are very profitable, both in financially, mm-hmm. but also relationally for people. So, for example, let me give a couple of examples if I might. Sure. So there is a podcast that is about dental finance and accounting. Wow. That I helped launch. It's Art Wiederman. He's in California. So it's about dental accounting and finance. Very niche.
It's the top of my list of searching on podcasts.
Now, do you think he needs a large audience?
No, he needs the right audience.
Yeah. Exactly. And so who is his audience? It's dentists that want to learn how to manage their finances and such. So, you know, it can be very profitable even with a small audience.
Right.
Another example.
Because then does he then go and work with them? He's looking to make them clients.
So yeah, he'll bring them on as clients. So
he uses it as a marketing tool, basically.
Yeah. You get one or two clients a year, you know, can be pretty substantial in that.
Gosh, it makes you think, like, pretty much, and you probably, I guess you think this every day, but being a producer, but anybody in any skill could basically do a podcast and do the same thing, right?
Right, right. Another example from my own personal experience is I guested on a podcast a few years ago, and I think at its height, that particular podcast had maybe 300 listeners per episode, but it had one person that was the right listener. So I was a guest on that podcast, and I talked about how I help people with podcasting. I go through the launch process, and this guy reached out to me, and I'd actually kind of known the guy before, but I don't think he really understood what I did. So he reached out to me and said, "Hey, I do podcast editing and I'm growing my company. I have a lot of new people, new clients that come on that need to go through the launch process and I need some help." So over the past several years, that has resulted in thousands and thousands of dollars.
Wow.
Of, you know,
subcontractor type work for you. So then you go and launch them and then he does the editing.
He does the editing. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. And like you said, it just took that one person to hear.
That one person. Yeah. And I like to,
that's cool.
And this is not original to me, but I like to give the example of think of those numbers as people and not just numbers. Mm-hmm. For example, I had a lady I helped and she emailed me and was a little, you know, a little discouraged, I guess.
Yeah.
And she said, "Jody, I only have about 300 listeners per episode." And so I wrote her back and I said, Carrie, if 300 people showed up at your house every Wednesday at noon to listen to you talk for 30 minutes, would you think that was substantial and impactful?
Yeah.
And she wrote back and she said, well, yeah, when you look at it that way, it really makes a difference.
And it makes me sad because that's the world we live in. We live in the influencer world where a couple thousand of something is exciting, but like you said, a couple hundred doesn't sound. But yeah, everybody wants that 300 people.
Especially those 300 people are not just passing through. They have sought out that content because they trust her and what she's talking about, or they're interested in the subject material, or they've put it on their podcast subscription that they play in the mm-hmm. background as they work because they're going to learn, or they're going to be fascinated by something, or they're just going to pick up something that they're interested in.
Yeah. And we recorded an episode earlier today, and the guest, she said these words, which I've heard many times. I feel like I know you because I've been listening to you. And so there's
that was like the biggest compliment since we've started. I remember in the beginning, I was like, why am I podcasting? I'm terrible at this. And then when someone says something like that, you go, okay, this is why I'm doing it. We're connecting. We're real. Yeah. I suck at this. Sometimes I kill bugs and set off alarms and
all in one show.
I forget to ask questions.
And so, and I've heard that variations of that from, that have been said to many podcasters. I feel like I know you. So it's audio podcasting just builds a very special communication and relationship.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like that it takes the visual out of it too, because you are having to listen, right? You're having to really
exactly.
connect.
And that's another benefit of audio podcasting is when it comes to a video, someone is generally going to be more willing to listen to a long episode than they are to sit in front of a screen, because I can listen while I'm driving to work, you know, mm-hmm. for, you know, if driving to work becomes a thing, yeah. again. Or when I'm working out, or when I'm, you know, doing yard work or going on a walk, I don't have to be glued to a screen. So people are more willing to give their attention for a longer amount of time.
Exactly. When I'm cooking dinner, I can turn one on and listen to part of it. Pause it, listen to it later.
Yeah.
Do you have a podcast you like, Tiffany?
There's a couple entrepreneurial-based ones that I like, but I don't remember the names of the people that do them. I've got them in my phone.
Do you ever listen to yourself?
No, never.
Jody?
I need to start listening.
I'm not going to ask you what's your favorite podcast, because you've worked with hundreds. So I'm not going to. It's like when people ask Jerry Seinfeld, what's your favorite joke? They're all my children. They're all my babies. Yeah. So I get that. We're speaking with Jody Smith. He helps people podcast. You can go to jodysmith.com to learn more about what he does. So I think I need to. We talked about audience size. It's time to talk about money.
Yeah. Mm. How do people make money at this?
There you go.
So. That is a question.
Wait, I'm sorry. I wanted her to emphasize that a little bit more, so I'm going to emphasize it. Can I do that? Can I take your question and try to enhance it a little bit?
Yes.
Let's talk about money. How do people make money at podcasting?
Well, that is a question I get a lot. So, you don't have to make money with a podcast is one thing. You can do podcasting for the fun of it. I have some people who come to me, and I ask them, what does success look like for your podcast? And many times it has nothing to do with money. It has to do with creating a community or talking about a subject that they care about, or sharing their experience, or being a give back to the community or to people who have helped them along the way. That being said, there are many ways that I've seen people make money from podcasting. And usually the first way and the easiest way are to market your own products or services. Example I gave earlier with Art of Dental Finance. Mm-hmm. They can market their services softly by giving great information for free in their podcast and sharing their expertise in their podcast. So that's one of the quickest and easiest ways, no matter what kind of a service you do, whether it be, let's see, one person I I has a a pickleball podcast, and I've never even heard of that
of the
sport.
Game pickleball. Yeah.
Until this year, and so he markets things related to pickleball. So that's one
for
way.
Other people or his own products.
I believe he has some of his own, and maybe he may do some affiliate stuff with others. So that's another way, is affiliate products that makes sense for your audience. Mm-hmm.
I've got a great example of that.
Okay.
A few years ago, I totally got into, thanks to a friend of mine, a podcast called Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. I don't listen to it anymore. Bruce Pritchard has gone back to the WWE, but he used to be Vince McMahon's right-hand man for about 20 years, and he had all these stories. So he was out of wrestling, and Conrad Thompson, who was he owned his own mortgage company but was a huge wrestling fan, convinced Bruce to do a podcast with him, and they had... They had various products. One, their main product they were pitching to support the show was t-shirts. They would come up with these funny taglines or funny inside wrestling jokes, and they would make it a t-shirt at their website that they had. But the other one, and I remember this, if you go back and listen to the very first episodes, there was a guy named Leather by Dan or Belts by Dan. He made retro vintage wrestling title belts. And so you could order, you know, a belt that looked like the old NWA World Championship if you wanted to have that in your collection. And I got it. I was like, I'm sure they get a piece of every sale. I'm sure Leather by Dan wanted to sell more belts. And why not advertise on a wrestling podcast that wrestling fans, old wrestling fans with some extra money listen to, you know?
Do you find though, so say someone's just starting out and they only have maybe 10 listeners per show or whatever, are they having a hard time getting those types of relationships going? Because I'm assuming that these brands, the first thing they're going to do is ask, what is your listenership, right?
Yeah. So There's a difference between affiliate versus like an advertiser. An affiliate relationship, you can often just sign up on a form. They'll give you a unique link, and any sales.
So it doesn't hurt them to do it because if you don't sell, you don't sell.
Right. Yeah. So that's one way, affiliate, where you get a cut of any sales that are made. So when it comes to sponsorships and advertisements, that's usually the last thing that I recommend for the majority of podcasters. I will tell them, nobody really cares about your podcast as much as you do. And podcast agencies are looking for big numbers for big advertisers. Mm-hmm. So some of the best relationships or the best deals are found through relationships that you have. Like if your podcast is about fishing and there's a type of rod and reel you use and you have a contact at that company, you know, that would be a very beneficial relationship. So that's where you would be a great place to start and get the most bang for your buck.
Authentic as well. It's something you use, so you're going to be able to sell it better.
Right, right. So, I found with like podcasting advertising agencies, I mean, the rates can be very low. I mean, they might pay you 20 or 25 bucks for every 1,000 listens to your podcast.
Wow. So you could actually make more money doing it direct yourself.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I've known of people that have had very small audience, again, a couple hundred, 300, that were making I think it was like $500 an episode, from their sponsor because it was very targeted, and they served that sponsor very well.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to those numbers for just, I'm sorry, I'm going to go back to audience numbers. Because you said it depends if you're targeting or you know what you're doing, if you're doing it for fun more than for profit, there's all those things. I think some people, again, let's go back to the lady who was like, I only have 300. You have a very, very interesting stat that I've heard you use a couple of times when people, when people think about, well, how big is my audience of my podcast? Give me some of those numbers. Give me that stat, because it's surprising.
I was blown away by this too.
Yeah. Yeah, it really gives you some context. So these stats are a few months old, but I don't think they've changed very much. They're in the same general neighborhood. So this is based on the first 30 days after an episode is published.
Okay.
If you have more than 130 downloads, you're in the top 50% of all podcasts out there.
Wow. All podcasts currently producing new shows. Because that's one of the things about podcasts. There are podcast shows that I'll come across and I'll go, oh, this sounds interesting. And then I'll look and go, oh yeah, the last episode was 2009. Okay. Right. I'm not going to listen to that.
Right. And these stats come from Libsyn, which is a big podcast media host. They host a whole lot of top. I think they've got 60,000 or more, and many of them are top podcasts. If you get more than 1,100 downloads on your episode in the first 30 days, you're in the top 20% of all.
Is that podcasts. Per episode or?
Yeah, based on an episode. One episode. An episode over the first 30 days after it's released.
What? And one of the things we do is our podcasts are designed to be semi-timeless. I mean, we don't do a lot of stuff that's really timely. We try to make it timeless advice. So. Is there anything wrong with that? If we're getting, as long as people are listening, as long as those numbers keep climbing, I would imagine at some point the numbers probably kind of level off and you stop getting new listens. Is 30 days kind of the drop dead date, or is it like, go back and check in 3-6 months later and see if you've gone up some?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Point
for me.
So there's different variables about that, but I will say that episodes that are out there continue to get listens. I've seen podcasts that haven't published a new episode in 5 years that are still getting listens to all the episodes in their catalog because new people are stumbling onto them. And so it lies out there as a body of work that people can access for years to come. And so the cumulative effect is maybe the podcast got 100 downloads in its first 30 days, but maybe it gets 10 a month for the next 5 years, or maybe there's some exposure, and then 5 years later,
yeah.
People are finding that based on some exposure, and it spikes up more than it's ever. It has more downloads than it ever had in the previous 5 years combined. So
interesting.
Yeah.
My insecurities make me go, oh, great. So people are going to be listening. And
Tiffany, you've talked about that because of reruns and because of CNBC. You always joke that when you were running the company day by day, you go, oh, I know I must have been on. They must have shown a replay because you get all these orders.
Right. So the same thing can happen. Speaking of, we can talk about product, or you can talk about when someone has a product-based business, how might they either be a guest on a podcast or use the podcast to market their product?
Yes. So I wanted to try to serve your audience and tie this into how it could help a product developer. So one great way to get out there is to be a guest on podcast in your target demographic or in your target niche. For example, one that I thought of off the top of my head is we had the guy from Line Cutters as a guest a few episodes ago. If he was a guest on a fishing podcast, then that would be the ideal audience for him.
Because Line Cutters is a ring that actually cuts a fishing line.
Exactly. Exactly. So, or an outdoors podcast or anything that is related to that. And so he can leverage those audiences that have already been built by being a guest and offering valuable stories, advice, experiences.
And I think people oftentimes want, the GMAs or the, Today Show type exposure, but they don't realize the power of what you just described. If they can get on something like that, they're really, truly connecting with their customers versus it might be just a little blurb on, some television show.
And when somebody starts reaching out to be a guest on another podcast, will they be asked to produce a fee? are some podcasts, the way they're making money, hey, you can come on my podcast, but in order to speak like to my audience, I'm going to ask for a little bit of a pay to play. Or what's the reasonable expectation people need to have if they start going out hunting to try and be a guest on podcasts?
So I would say be authentic about it. So don't just look up all the fishing podcasts right. and then blast them an email yeah. saying, hey, can I be on your show? Make it something, maybe it's a show that you've been listening to yourself for a couple of years. Tell them how you can serve their audience. Reach out and make it about them and create a win for them.
That is so good, Jody. It's never about you in business.
Yeah.
It needs to be about their listeners.
Yeah. So, if they ask you to pay, I wouldn't pay to be on. There are some that will ask you to pay.
I mean, I guess I'm wondering if it's one of those podcasts that, you know, it's one of the top ranked ones and they're, and if you think it's the right scenario, then, and you've got it in your budget, then go for it. But most of the podcasting world, it's not an expectation to, no guest has ever paid to be on our, you know, anybody right. we've interviewed as a guest has never paid to be on our podcast. And that is semi standard, the right? norm at this point for the most part, right?
Yeah. The norm is that guests don't pay to be on podcasts. Now, I have seen some podcasts that charge, some I see don't really have any business charging, but there are a couple of top ranked ones that I've seen that put a fee in place basically as a gate from all the pitches they right. get.
Which so, I understand.
So they'll say, yeah. If you want to be on one of our episodes, it's going to be $5,000. You need to write out an outline of how you're going to give a master class for this episode that's going to serve our audience. And so they use it as a filtering tool because otherwise they're getting right. hundreds of emails a day. Can I be on your show? Can I be on your show? Yeah, can I be on your show? So yeah. that makes sense. And maybe they do have the occasional person that does that. I would hope they would be transparent with it. You know, basically you could say, you know, that this person is sponsoring the show.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, I doubt they get a whole lot of takers for that. I think they probably have enough guests, that they reach out to themselves that, to fill their schedule. So,
well, and if someone asks you to pay to be on their show, I would also hope as the business owner, if I were to even consider that, I'd be like, okay, let's talk about how I'm going to get business out of this. Yep. How many times do I get my website mentioned? Can I do an offer? Can I, you know, all those kinds of things.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, what's going to be the return.
Yeah. We want to make sure and cover that. So, man, we've been podcasting for fun and profit for a little over 30 minutes now with Jody Smith.
I love this episode because I never see Jody really come to life during our shows because he's doing his job and he's quiet and focused. And today he's just like grinning from ear to ear and super passionate and knowledgeable. It's pretty cool.
And you're asking definitely a ton a of question. Great questions.
and a compliment.
And I've asked some good questions too. I got a great question, so that's good. And Tiffany kind of asked the process. Let me just kind of revamp that. And I think we'll kind of do this to wrap up and say, so what is, when someone reaches out to you, is there a free consultation to start, or is it pretty much, no, you got to pay to play to, you know, I charge by the hour. What is the very beginning process for whatever questions they have?
Normally I'll say, hey, let's jump on like a 15-minute Zoom call and just chat yeah. through where you are, what you need help with. And then from that, I'll be able to determine what might make the most sense for you. If I'll be able to help you. And if so, here's the ways I could serve you. It could be, I could offer you a paid consultation, or I could offer you my podcast launch package, and you can decide how you want to proceed from there.
Okay.
Oh, good. So they can reach out
so,
right now.
So Tiffany, we're gonna break something on the air before we let Jody kind of give his pitch at the end and tell everybody where to go, which I've already given him. But there was a time when you did your podcast with a different provider.
Yes.
Who we love dearly.
Yes.
A shout out to Business Radio X. And you wanted to change a couple things. And we were, you had a contact and I had a contact. The reason I had a contact with Jody was because Jody has helped my brother, Kent Julian.
Yes.
With his podcast, mm-hmm. Paid to Speak, and also Live It Forward. Mm-hmm. Kent's done two different podcasts. Go check those out. They're great podcasts. And I didn't know I was on a 15-minute consultation call, but I was on a 15-minute consultation call with Jody. And I was calling him just to see if he'd be interested. And yeah. He, in 15 minutes, I got more out of that call. He asked fantastic questions. He listened to what I was saying. And then was like, yes, I can help you. And here's what I think I can do. Boom, 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 boom. And just laid it all out.
Contact fell through. And I am so glad it did, because this was such a better fit.
So your contact didn't even call you back.
Yeah. I don't remember what happened. Well, no, mine was.
We don't want to throw anybody under the bus. Yeah, mine, but it was nothing like that, correct?
Right.
no, nothing. So last question, Jody. Are there any pitfalls out there? So we talked about people doing it themselves. If they want to start looking, is there anything, if they come across anything with podcasting that's not through you, what should they be running away from? What are the scams? What are the traps? What are the, oh, please don't do that. Please don't put your money into that.
So if anybody says you're going to be making X number of thousands of dollars and you're going to have X numbers of thousands of downloads and you're going to be featured on Apple New and Noteworthy, stuff like that.
Run.
Because they can't promise that, right? Well, they can't, obviously they can't promise that.
They can promise to take a ton of your money.
They can promise it, but they can't deliver. in a ethical way, and a way that's going to really benefit you long term.
So are there unethical ways that they can make that happen? I mean, are you saying there's,
you can hire
for clicks
overseas,
stuff.
Pay for kind of stuff. And there's other ways to game
and
systems.
Jody is not doing that.
No.
So.
So if people need help podcasting, what should they do?
They can go to jodysmith.com, and that's JodeySmith.com. And there's actually a form on there where you can fill it and just put your name and email address. And I'll be glad to reply to you and see how I can help you.
Two things I noticed right on the front page at the very top. First of all, there's a picture of Jody with you, Tiffany.
Oh!
Saying, pictured with my client, Tiffany Krumans. You may recognize her from the pilot episode of Shark Tank. I was reading it, and then she turned my laptop. Sorry. But right underneath that, there's a little button right at the top of the screen there. It says, ask for podcast help, and that goes right to your Contact Us page, I'm sure.
Yep.
Which is fantastic. The other thing I noticed, which I love, is... You go down and you can check out some of Jody's clients. And then at the very bottom, it says, this is not a course.
Right.
So help is not a course. If you want to there, and I'm sure you've done a course and I'm sure you're talking about doing courses. Courses have their place. This is not a course. This is helping you podcast.
Right. This is walking along beside you, done with you. And like I said, I am a podcast guide.
Mm-hmm. Podcast discipleship. Oh, sorry. I made it religious. I apologize. JodeSmith.com. Jody, thank you so much for being on the show. But then again, you're always on the show. But thank you for being on the microphone today.
I am honored. And it's been a great joy working with both of you. It's hard to believe it's been over 100 episodes. And I'm looking forward to many more. And I always look forward to these days when we can get together and record some episodes and have a good time and play some ping pong. And
to watch our stats for this episode, right? Jody's like, this one had 7,000 views.
That's right. This was our most listened to episode. Tiffany, I have
bring him in more often.
Tiffany, you have always sang the praises of Jody, and I know he appreciates, and I appreciate getting to work with him. He helps people podcast. Yeah. He is the easiest podcaster in the history of the world to work with.
He truly is.
Yeah. And I have one more little reveal for you. Jody
quitting.
And I.
Is he quitting?
Wanted to save it for them.
He's had enough. Jody and I am on a personal mission to do a podcast with Jody.
Ah, you should. It'd be so good.
He just keeps turning me down.
What will you cover?
That's part of what we're trying to discuss. Because, you know, do you remember earlier in the interview when he said, you know, people will come to me with these ideas and I kind of have to tone them down? He was talking specifically about me. Oh. I know he was. Because I have peppered him over the last few months with, I got this idea. What do you think about this? What do you think about this?
You guys have such a good relationship and chemistry. You should do that.
Well,
the question is about what,
right? Right. Oh, we've come up with a couple ideas and we've hashed out. I've bought a couple lunches specifically to bribe him to try and talk to him about.
I think we need to bring him into more of our episodes too, from a marketing standpoint.
Now, the only problem with that is eventually it'll allow you to fire me if he starts asking questions.
That's been the plan all along.
It's taken you a long time to get there. So, but anyway. Yeah,
I love to brainstorm with podcasts, love to talk about ideas and stuff, and we'll find the right formula, the right topic eventually.
And lastly, would you like to know the greatest question Jody's ever asked me in the two years we've worked together on this show? He said, Stephen, if they were to make a TV movie about the Product Genius podcast, who would play you in that TV movie? And I'll leave the answer. We're going to I'm not going to give the answer because I don't want to give away the payoff, when it does happen.
Yes.
Because this podcast is so popular.
100%.
Yeah. It's good. You know, so the question is who's going to play you, Tiffany.
Right.
But anyway, we won't discuss that. Okay. So, so go to jodysmith.com, you want to pitch your stuff on the end?
Nah. Yeah.
Everybody
stick
knows.
To Jody.
Do it. I'm going to do my job and say.
Okay.
There you go. Look at the producer stepping in.
TiffanyKrumans.com and MomGenius.com.
And
Tiffany has this great course.
Thank you, Jody.
That you can purchase. She will talk to you. It will tell you about what to expect if you want to develop a product. So it's self-study, very reasonably priced.
Self-study. That's a good way
to say it. Self-study.
Yeah, self-study. Paste and so go and check that out, and I believe you can get like a 50% discount
with Shark Tank,
and that's one word for the promo code.
Oh, nice.
Thank you, Jody.
Very good. And if you'd like to know more about what I do as an independent financial advisor, you can't go to my website. I can't tell you the website. You can go to it, but you have to search for it. So search my name, Stephen Julian, financial advisor. You can also put Buford, Georgia, and you'll find my website. But that's not why you're here. The reason you are here is to have a little bit of fun, learn about business. And today we learned about podcasting for fun and profit with Jody Smith. So for Jody and Tiffany, this is Stephen saying, we'll catch you next time on Product Genius.